Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Today we'll be reading three passages. The first from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." The second is from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 57-58. Then the Jews said to Jesus, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." And the third is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 4, verses 13 through 15 and 23 through 25. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and who was raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carl. Appreciate Carl very much. Carl Milan. Carl has been working for several weeks to get this Scout Sunday together and coordinating with various Scout units, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, to have them here for the full day. And they have been, and they've done wonderfully well. And appreciate Carl. He's been our lectionary scripture reader for the day. It's been a wonderful day. Lori Stevens, beautiful job singing. Bells are marvelous. So, good day. Will you pray with me? Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation and the inspiration within all of our hearts and thoughts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is second to the last of sermons in this series called Essential Christianity. We've got one more to go next Sunday. And then we're entering into the season of Lent. I hope some of you have begun to think about how you want to self-reflect during the season of Lent, these 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter. Something within your life that you are seeking God's help with. Perhaps it's a habit you would like to eliminate or a habit you would like to form that's positive in your life. Perhaps it relates to an issue of diet or exercise, something physical, whether it has to do with something related to relationships, finances, some aspect of your life that you would like to set as a particular goal. That as we pursue this season of Lent and those things within our lives that are obstacles to fulfillment, that perhaps working together with God's grace and the Spirit in our lives, we might be able to accomplish perhaps something by Easter that enhances us a little bit. So I want you to be thinking about what that might be, what your specific personal goal might be through the 40 days of Lent. But today, essential Christianity, what all Christians hold in common, has been our theme for the last several Sundays. This is what we're working on today. We share with many Christian communions the confession that our justification as sinners is by grace, through faith. The very important Christian doctrine of justification by grace through faith alone. This idea is really central to the whole understanding of our Christian faith and life together. justified by grace through faith. It is a concept or an idea or a doctrine that is somewhat easy to get in your head, but it's also a little more difficult for it to get in your heart. To get in your heart, you have to let it in. And historically, those who have let this doctrine into their being, their lives have changed. And when that happened to certain people, it changed history. Justification by grace through faith. Now, this idea of justification is a word Paul used. He used it in the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians, in Ephesians. It's a judicial term. It comes from the courts. To be justified means that you have paid the sentence in order to redeem yourself from the control of the court. To be justified, to be made right with the court. So it has a judicial meaning. With Paul's idea, it means how to be right with God. Now, this whole idea of justification by grace through faith is also what we understand as salvation in the Wesleyan tradition. To be saved. To be saved in this world and into the age to come. Now, I do know how to spell. I know there's an N and an S on salvation and wholeness. It just got lost in transition. Anyway, salvation, the wholeness, completeness in our relationship with God, being all that God has called us to be, full in the spirit of God's longing and expectation for us. To be saved. It's also what we know and understand to be new birth, to be born again, to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, to be transformed, renewed and restored. All of these ideas fall into the idea of justification by grace through faith alone. It's a very powerful doctrine. It's central to our Christian understanding of who we are and what we're about. It's somewhat easy to get into the head, but when it gets to the heart, it changes lives. Now, I'm going to use this morning to help me explain this. Though many of you may know what this is. This is the Eagle Scout Medal. For a young boy to get this, he pretty much has to set it as a goal early on in his scouting program. It's something that he intends to pursue because there are a series of steps and requirements along the way that he must complete. He starts out as a tenderfoot, learning the basics, the rudiments of scout program. From tenderfoot, he goes to second class. From second class, he moves to first class. All along the way, he is meeting requirements, earning merit badges, taking on different and more responsibilities within his troop, more leadership responsibilities and expectations. On he goes in this pursuit of this goal, from the rank of star, rank of life. All along the way, doing community projects, involved in his troop, going on camping trips, helping younger scouts progress in their work as well. And finally, it comes to the point where he is so close, all the merit badges have been acquired that are part of expectations. He is now to the point where he needs to do a serious community service project that shows off the fullness of his leadership potential. And once that's accomplished, He goes before an eagle board of review, and they test him. They ask him questions. They want to know the entire journey that he has taken in order to get to where he is today. If he passes the eagle board of review, then he is granted the award of an Eagle Scout at a special ceremony. It's a significant accomplishment. It is something that is very worthwhile. Early on, this teenager has set a goal. He's worked very hard. He has done what has been expected of him to do. He has achieved one merit badge after another. He has risen in rank. He has worked very hard. He has paid the price. And for that effort, he is rewarded. Now, that is the way our world works. Our world has expectations. You work hard. You pay the price. You deserve recognition. You have it in your own work, your own job, your own profession. You work hard. You pay the price. You do what's expected. You do what you continue to move up. You pay the price. You deserve, you have earned the recognition. Now, the Bible looks at it a little different. We go back all the way to Genesis, to Abraham. We're talking ages and ages ago, in the southern part of ancient Babylon, in the Ur of the Chaldees, God comes to Abraham and says, "Abraham, I want to develop a relationship. I will be your God, and you and your family shall be my people. Your offspring after you shall be my people. And from you shall come a great nation. From you shall come many great nations. And from your blessing, the world will be blessed." And Abraham trusted God. And when Abraham trusted God, God said, "Go where I tell you to go." And Abraham packed up. And he went from his hometown of Ur in the Chaldees up to modern-day Turkey, down to Canaan, and then eventually over to Egypt, then back to Canaan, because that's what God told him to do. He was obedient. But first, Abraham trusted God. Eventually, Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had a son, too, Jacob and Esau. Jacob was the child of the promise. And so Jacob married and had 12 sons to 12 tribes of Israel. They eventually found themselves in Egypt in slavery. God raised up a prophet, Moses, that liberated them, and they landed in the wilderness. God said, "It's time for a law." And so God, through Moses, gave the children of Abraham the law. And from that time, the law was the center of their life and their being. Obedience to the law became first. The law is what is important. Now, looking now, many years later, Paul, convicted to the heart by Jesus in his crucifixion and his resurrection, is now looking at the church, and he's trying to understand now that we have these Gentiles coming into the church, I'm realizing we got this backwards. It's not the law first. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or his descendants through the law. It came through righteousness of faith. Abraham trusted first, and then he obeyed. That's it, said Paul. When that clicked, it changed his life, changed the church, changed history. You trust first, and then obey. Well, truth of the matter is, the church historically has sometimes had times of getting it backwards as well. You know your world history. You know that in 1517, the church had this great idea. The Pope was trying to build his grand cathedral, St. Peter's Cathedral in the Vatican, and he needed money. And so they needed a fundraising scheme, and so they had this great idea. We're going to sell indulgences. It's a little piece of paper signed by the Pope. You pay enough money, and we will shorten your sentence in purgatory. We are going to sell salvation. And so he sent salesmen off into all of the lands to sell these indulgences. And they raised a lot of money. Pay enough money, and you will lower your time in purgatory. Until it came to Martin Luther, who read his Bible and said, this is backwards. You do not buy your way into heaven. You cannot earn your salvation. It is not something that you achieve, you earn, you deserve. It is a gift. You don't obey and then are saved. You trust first. It is about faith first. Your salvation is a gift. So the scribes, the Pharisees, the Jews came to Jesus and they said, what is this you're talking about Abraham? You're not yet 50 years old and here you are talking about Abraham. What do you know about Abraham? And Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham trumps the law of Moses, but Jesus trumps Abraham. Because Jesus paid the price. For you and for me. And that's the point. There is no price we can pay for our salvation. It is a gift freely given by Christ Jesus on the cross and through his resurrection. I have paid the price, he says. So trust me, and then follow me.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.